Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is college football final, and they're in the third SEC title game. Georgia's defense has been lights out. They have the ball on a short field. And they lead Alabama 14-0 there. And, of course, the big one in the Big Ten, it'll be Indiana and Ohio State. Both teams are solidly in the playoff. They're ranked number one and number two, and they're both unbeaten. Can Indiana knock off the Buckeyes tonight? I'm not optimistic. I think it'll be Ohio State big tonight, but I could be wrong. My nephew is an undergrad at Indiana, so I hope he didn't hear that.
Oh, he is living the best life he could as a college student. It's not just, it's one thing to go to a blue blood school like Ohio State and have a football team be good. Can you imagine the vibes on the quad, you know, earlier today and Indiana, or just at any point in time during the season? It's always unexpected. Anything comes out of Indiana that isn't involved in basketball.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. I didn't even rub it in when Indiana came to Minnesota and got beat by the Gophers at the barn in the Big Ten opener. I didn't bother with that because they've always got football. You know, Indiana, that great football tradition.
Exactly.
I mean, it's been, what, 365, 600 days of Indiana football greatness.
Yeah, it is.
And I mean that probably in the last 50 years, it's probably been about 600 days of Indiana football greatness.
Well, in this era, here's the amazing thing. They were able to hang on to their coach and lock in this guy because that in itself is a feat. You know, he didn't leave for LSU. So there's that.
By the way, could I say something? I know that I can't.
You want to rip Lane Kiffin? I'm all for it.
Oh no.
Oh, God.
I want to say one thing before we move on. As an alum, as I mentioned in the last hour of Iowa State, I wanted to send out. I know he doesn't listen to this show, but I want to send out a genuine, hearty thank you to Coach Matt Campbell, who decided to take the Penn State job last night. So he's moving from Ames to Happy Valley.
Are you bitter about it?
I'm not, okay. And I hope Iowa State fans are not bitter about this. I understand if there's some bitterness. Oh, you just use this as a stepping stone. Okay, for the people that don't know about Iowa State, we are a stepping stone. We're lucky to be a stepping stone because for, like Indiana, for the majority of its football existence, Iowa State has not been great. More times than not, they've been dreck. So, to have a coach come in and get Iowa State to 10-win seasons, to get them to a Fiesta Bowl, to get them to the point where they were playing last season on this, not this date, but this day last year for a Big 12 championship, it's unbelievable what he accomplished in Ames. Hopefully there's a coach out there that can continue the success, but when I was in school there, it had been a while since they had made a bowl game, and I thought my first couple of seasons, my couple of years there, they finished like 4-7, 5-5, you know, I didn't think they would make a bowl. But they turned it around the last 2 years, and the coach there, Dan McCartney at the time, McCartney, he made bowls the last two seasons. I went on the air on radio, on the student radio station, and said, this guy can't coach. What are you talking about? And then he coached him to bowl games. That was huge at that time. Campbell has far exceeded that. And so I, as a Cyclone, am grateful, as Cyclone alum, am grateful for what he did, and I wish him all the success at Penn State. It's going to be a pressure cooker, no doubt. But I wish him all the luck, and I'm so glad he was able to stay. I thought he was going to be gone 2-3 seasons ago. I did not think he would stay as long as he did at Iowa State, and I'm glad that he did, and I'm glad that he established a culture of relevancy in Ames, Iowa. I'll be grateful for that.
Yeah, and, you know, the other coaching moves, and you look at the whole Lane Kiffin saga, wow.
Now, that I think is kind of the opposite.
you're right. And Lane Kiffin, you can read all about his resume and where he's been and the ups and downs and all of that. That whole Ole Miss to LSU and the governor's involvement, it just... I almost read that whole saga and felt like I needed to jump in the shower.
It is the
underbelly of big time college football just laid bare. It's so dirty. It's so bad. I just nothing but the worst for Lane Kiffin and LSU.
But this is the thing that I thought about last weekend while this was all happening. Mm. Shame on us as a consumer base, as fans of college football, for allowing this story to drive the national headlines for 4, 5, 7 days. We shouldn't have done that. We should have said, okay, fine, whatever, decide what you want to, keep it on the SEC network, all that stuff. But the fact that we didn't really turn away, we didn't in en masse turn up our noses at that and say, what are you doing? Why are we following this story? Wake me when it's over. And that part, shame on us about, because there's no way that this should have just led the national, you know, Sports Center news and all this stuff for going on a week. It shouldn't have done that. But that's what we live in now.
But I think any observer of that whole situation, that is the bad side of big time college football, and there's a lot of bad to go around and a lot of stories, but I will sum it up this way by saying anybody who complains about a player jumping into the portal and going somewhere else for a better opportunity, more name, image, and likeness money, and with a straight face, is critical of that and not critical of the Lane Kiffin type moves, well, you just don't, in my opinion, have a leg to stand on, because there are a lot of coaches that have jumped from job to job and bring these kids in and say, this is why you need to come to Ole Miss, or this is why you need to come to Acme State or whatever it is. But they're out the door there's no commitment to the situation they're in.
Does now, Acme State have a major in Anvil building?
Yeah, they Widget. Acme State has a major in Widget Engineering.
Acme State, where you can get your bachelor's degree in Looney Tunes.
Yeah, and by the way, a quick update, and Jonathan will have all the scores one more time in a moment. But at the SEC title game, Georgia playing lights out defense. The Alabama quarterback looks terrible today. Georgia leads at 21-0. Midway through quarter number three now in Atlanta. So Georgia in great shape. Certainly a title contender. No problem there in the playoff. But I think if this beatdown continues, Bama's in trouble.
It's going to be fascinating if Georgia wins by... Some people might say 14 or more. If they win by like 17, 20, 21,
The way it's going right now, it's going to be worse than that.
And
Alabama's not in this game at all.
What does this mean for Notre Dame? Notre Dame would more than likely be in at that point because they're going to go ahead of Alabama. What does it mean for Miami? Because what was going to happen with BYU losing was people were going to get what they were going to get. They were going to get Miami. And to be honest, I think this would have happened either way, whether BYU won or not, because BYU then they vault into the playoff. They're in. And they would have a win over a top four team, so they'd probably be somewhere in the 8-9 range. So now you get – ooh, that was an interesting play right there. Now you get Miami and Notre Dame right next to each other on the seeding lines. And Notre Dame has looked better than Miami in the last probably 8 weeks of the season. They've looked dominant. The schedules are probably leaning more toward the Miami side in difficulty. Mm. But the other thing is Miami beat them head-to-head in week one. They beat them head-to-head.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, okay, I'm going to see June 8 and I'm going to see June 9, and let's say it's an 8-team playoff. You're 8, you're 9, but 9 beat 8. Head-to-head, on the field. What does that mean if Miami doesn't get in that situation?
Well, and it just goes to show, and a final point on this, that no matter how many teams are in the playoff, you're always going to have an argument about who didn't get in and who did get in. And in all of this, and I'm glad they've expanded the playoff, I was in favor of you got to have the conference champs get in. You got to have some at large. You have to have what you call the next group of conferences or mid majors, or they call it that in hoops. I kind of like that term. You got to put them in a playoff. But legitimately, at this time of year, how many teams have a chance to win it all?
I would say
five.
Are
there a handful of teams that legitimately in a playoff have a chance to win a title?
Usually in a 12-team, you'd think, okay, it might be half. At best, it might be half the field.
But that might be a stretch.
But the one bugaboo in this is Ohio State. If Ohio State gets upset, you go down Indiana, Georgia, Texas Tech, Texas A&M, Oregon, who are already in. I could see any of those teams winning outside. If Ohio State gets upset, I could see it being an 8-team deep field. I could see Notre Dame getting there on the strength of their defense and their all-world rushing attack. I could see it. Miami's got the talent to make it there. There are teams out there that can make it. It's just, can Ohio State get knocked off? That's the one question.
Quick break. We'll come back. We'll have another rundown of the regional scoreboard. One team did advance. We'll get Pat Coleman from D3Football.com. He's coming up at 5:25 to sort that out. Bethel's still alive. They get a really tough one next week. North Central of Illinois. UW River Falls beat St. John's. They'll be at home next week as well. So Bethel and River Falls still alive in the D3. Minnesota State got beat. Jonathan will have an update on the scores. North Dakota State out in FCS. And Pat Coleman, that's coming up here momentarily. A little bit later on, Chris Hine will talk Timberwolves. And then we'll talk Vikes and J.J. McCarthy before we close out the show. Final five games of the year. A big five games for McCarthy. We'll do that all before 6 here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
D2 playoffs, Ferris State beat Minnesota State 52-29. D3 playoffs around the area. UW River Falls thumps St. John's 42-14. River Falls dominates defensively in that game. And Bethel, they advance. They beat UW-Platteville 35-24 in Arden Hills. Let's jump in. Conference championship games. SEC now, Big Ten later. With a quick rundown there, here's Jonathan Lowe.
Thank you very much, Steve. Let's go ahead and get it rolling on a wonderful, beautiful trophy-lifting Saturday in the fall. Y'all, college football here, there, and everywhere, and we start in Atlanta, the SEC championship. It is midway through the third quarter. Georgia leading Alabama 21-0. Georgia ranked third, Alabama ninth. Alabama, if they lose big, maybe they tumble out of the playoff. Let's head to the games that are final from earlier today. At the Big 12 championship in Arlington, number 4 Texas Tech defeats number 11 BYU 34-7. At the MAC championship in Detroit, Western Michigan is a 23-13 winner over Miami of Ohio. Coming up later this evening, the ACC championship in Charlotte. Duke will take on number 17 Virginia. At the Big Ten championship in Indianapolis, it's number 1 Ohio State against number 2 Indiana. Last night, the Conference USA championship from Jacksonville, Alabama. Jacksonville State falls to Kennesaw State 19-15. At the Sun Belt championship in Harrisonburg, Virginia, number 25 James Madison, they defeat Troy 31-14. The American Championship in New Orleans, number 20 Tulane, they take down number 24 North Texas 34-21. At the Mountain West Championship in Boise, Boise State beats up on UNLV 38-21, the final there. Now to FCS, the SWAC Championship, it was Prairie View defeating Jackson State 23-21. They'll go to the Celebration Bowl next week to take on the MEAC champ. It will be a big upset. There has been a big upset in the FCS tournament. The rest of the scores: Villanova defeats Lehigh 14-7. South Dakota gets a 47-0 win at Mercer. It was Tarleton State over North Dakota 31-13. Stephen F. Austin defeats Abilene Christian 41-34. South Dakota State ends their season in Missoula, losing to Montana 50-29. Montana State moves on, defeating Yale 21-13. Coming up later tonight, it'll be Rhode Island at UC Davis. But the story of the day was in Fargo, where Illinois State comes back from 28-14 down to defeat North Dakota State undefeated, the reigning national champions, 29-28 in the last minute of play. Illinois State moves on with the shocker to next weekend's quarterfinals. Real quick in volleyball, Division I tonight. Minnesota will be home against Iowa State in the second round of the Division I tournament. It is underway in the first set. The Division II tournament, South Dakota or St. Cloud State taking on Concordia St. Paul. And then in the Division III championship, Wisconsin-Oshkosh is 5 points away. They are 5 points away from their first title. They lead in the third set after taking the first two, 21-17 now. Oshkosh, the Titans, lead over Laverne, 4 points away from a national title for Oshkosh.
That is great news. All right. Let's bring in Pat Coleman, D3Football.com. Pat, always good to visit with you. You are in Arden Hills. Bethel holds off UW-Platteville, and they advance.
They sure do. Now you have my eyes ever so slightly looking at that UW Oshkosh Laverne women's volleyball game. But yeah. I am here to talk football. As you mentioned, one of the two MIAC teams survived. The big news of the day in Division III, though, is what it is. Anytime Mount Union loses, and they lost 10-7 to John Carroll in double overtime. And so for the third time in the last six playoffs, Steve, Mount Union is not even going to make the quarterfinals. They are out of the tournament here in the round of 16.
Yeah, hard to believe. UW-Whitewater, a one-time perennial power, nowhere to be seen. There's really been a changing of the guard. Let's talk about this Bethel game and Platteville. The Royals get it done again, and now next week they get North Central of Illinois.
They sure do, and that's a big, tall task for them, obviously. Bethel has played North Central before, but not since North Central has kind of ascended to be the standard in Division III football as they have over the last 6 years. Bethel today, I thought, did a really good job shaking off some early jitters. David Jeepley fumbled on the first play from scrimmage, and Platteville came down and scored a touchdown four plays later. They added on a field goal to make it 10-0. But then after that, you know, Bethel kind of settled down. They were leading by four at the half. They were up by 18 at the end of the third quarter. And Bethel looks really good on a pretty nice day at Arden Hills. All things considered, for December football, the weather was pretty good.
Yeah, Jeebly, 21 carries, 167 yards and a touchdown. Cooper Drews, 17 of 26, a pick, 156 yards, three touchdowns on the day today for Drews. So Bethel gets the win at home once again, North Central of Illinois. And then, Pat, I wanted to get your thoughts on UW River Falls. What a year they've had. They just dominated St. John's in that game defensively today, holding the Johnnies, I believe, to like 22 yards on the ground.
Yeah, pretty impressive. It's been a really good year for River Falls defensively. They have really progressed. After the first couple of games, they gave up a ton of yards, but they've gotten so much better. You know, they also picked off Trey Feeney twice, and Caleb Blaha on the offensive side, you know, over nearly 350 yards of total offense, almost 100 on the ground. That's a really tough combination to be able to overcome any of that.
And the pride of Fridley, how about that?
How about that? That's right, Fridley High School.
Yeah, really good stuff. And they're going to be a home again next week against Wheaton and River Falls.
Yeah, so Wheaton has gotten to this round of the tournament by winning three games. So they played in one of those first round games. They're the team that beat Crown back at the end of November, yeah, the weekend before Thanksgiving. And then they went on the road and they won at Wartburg, we talked about last week. They won at DePauw this afternoon. DePauw was the team that beat Whitewater. You know, Wheaton had lost two games this year, but they were to North Central and to Mount Union, the consensus number one and number two teams in the country. So, you know, the potential for Wheaton to do this has always been there. We just didn't know, were they the number three team in the country or somewhere lower? All we knew was they lost to two really good teams.
All right, Pat, now the question is, next Saturday, are you going to be in River Falls?
I love how you put me on the spot in the show. My goal is to get down to Atlanta, where John Carroll, the team that just beat Mount Union, is facing Berry College. We have lots of great nonstop flights from MSP to Atlanta, so I hope to take advantage of that.
Deal.
But if I can't swing that, then River Falls is where I would go next.
All right, sounds good. Always great, Pat. Love the coverage at d3football.com. You do an amazing job.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
There he is, Pat Coleman, 531. Quick break. We'll have an update on the weather. We'll talk Timberwolves. Timberwolves, after taking two in New Orleans, wasn't particularly easy. They get the Clippers tonight, 7 o'clock, Target Center. Chris Hine from the Star Tribune joins us. A News Talk, 830 WCCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Timberwolves are back in town after a two-game stay in New Orleans. They were able to beat the Pelicans. They had to do overtime duty Tuesday night. They beat them Thursday night. And now the Timberwolves come back and take on the L.A. Clippers tonight. Chris Hine, good enough to join us from the Star Tribune. Chris, always good to visit with you.
Good to be with you, Steve. How you doing?
Yeah, good. First night in New Orleans, it looked like they aren't going to get beat by the Pelicans. They did get it to overtime, take control in overtime, and get the W. But that was a little more work than it needed to be.
Yeah, it was. Before that game, I think Chris Finch kind of foretold something about his team, and said basically the team has a tendency to get bored sometimes, or they started the season bored on the defensive end of the floor. And I think you saw that manifest itself, especially Tuesday against the Pelicans. But, they got a win, which, it was better than they've handled it in some situations in previous years. Yeah. Against some of these lower tier teams that they face. So right now, they've mostly taken care of business. It hasn't always been pretty, but they've put wins in the win column against the teams they generally should win against. So that's an improvement over previous years in that sense. But, I think if you were to ask them right now, they're not playing up to the best of their abilities. They recognize that. And I think it's about finding that consistency for them, especially on the defensive end of the floor right now.
Yeah, and that makes what Oklahoma City is doing even more extraordinary, because they're the defending NBA champs and they played a lot of games and into the summer, and they've come out of the gate and they are rolling. It is extraordinary what Oklahoma City is doing, when you would think the defending NBA champs and playing all those games a season ago would be, hey, top six, we're good, just avoid the play-in, and we have a chance to defend our title. But Oklahoma City's come out of the gate. They're maybe even on more of a mission than they were a year ago.
They might be. It's incredible. And they haven't had Jalen Williams for most of the season. He just got back recently. So really, really fascinating to see. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has barely played in fourth quarters this season because they've been up by so much entering the fourth quarter of a lot of their games, that he's barely played. And that's where, if you're a team like the Wolves or anybody else in the Western Conference right now looking around, it's like, this is the standard. This is what you have to, aspire to be. This is who you have to take down. So how do you get yourself up to that level of being able to match their consistency, their intensity on a night-in, night-out level? Because come April and May, they're going to be able to ratchet it up because they've been at that level the whole season. If you're a team like the Wolves, it's been kind of up and down. It's going to be hard to turn it on and keep it on once you've been doing that for the whole regular season.
Chris Hine joining us, and he covers the Timberwolves. So for the Star Tribune, and they're home tonight against the LA Clippers. They're on the other end of the spectrum from the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is a franchise with the brand new building, state of the art, a billionaire owner, and this is a team in total disarray.
Yeah, it is, and there's, you know, they just let go of Chris Paul this week, and there's been a lot of drama around that with them. And you know, I think they looked at their season a year ago, losing in seven games to Denver, and thought, well, listen, I guess we're not that far away from competing. You know, if you use the transitive property on some of this, you know, they lose to Denver in seven, Denver loses to Oklahoma City in seven, so maybe we're not that far away. And I think that's a dangerous game to play sometimes. And sure enough, I think, you know, the Clippers have to look long and hard about where they're going this year and in the immediate future, and figure out what their best course of action is, because this year it just has not worked at all.
What about the Chris Paul thing? Do you have a thought on that and how that was handled? There was a lot of hand-wringing about it, but I don't know.
I haven't really dug into it too much other than to see that it appeared that Chris Paul and Ty Lue weren't really on speaking terms for a long time. So probably personality clashes leading to tension, which probably maybe boiled over at some point, it appears. So, yeah, it was strange, and strange the way it went down, like basically in the middle of the night, it seemed.
Yeah,
so very strange.
It did come late, and Chris Paul, of course, certainly had a reputation as being an agitator, and it seems like they had just had enough of that act. To the Timberwolves, there's still a lot of hand-wringing about point guard play, and do they have the right ingredients to challenge in the West, considering what Oklahoma City is doing this year? What's your read on this? It's still early in the season.
You know, it's a fascinating question, and I think something Chris Finch just said in his pregame press conference is maybe going to affect kind of where I think this team might be headed in that direction. And it relates to something he said about Dante DiVincenzo. Basically, Dante's been playing well this season, in part because I think they've given him longer shifts, more minutes than he had a season ago. The move to the starting lineup has improved. And basically, Finch said that, you know, in order to get the best version of Dante, that they felt like they had to make a move like this to put him in the starting lineup to play him more minutes. Okay, so now what does that mean for the point guard situation? To me, that means that if you're going to try to get a point guard, where are you going to play the point guard exactly? Are you going to take Dante out of the starting lineup? That doesn't seem to be the case based on what I just heard from Chris Finch. So to me, the point guard situation is very much in flux. And I think with the way the roster is currently constructed right now, you know, just bringing in another point guard or something like that, I don't know that that's necessarily the answer. Now, maybe there's a larger move out there that shakes up the roster to a larger degree that, you know, we maybe materializes at some point here. But just based on kind of where they're at right now with this current configuration and what they're getting out of, you know, Ant and Dante and Julius, like, I think they're kind of not, I don't want to say stuck with what they have, but because it's a pretty good unit, but this is kind of what they got right now. And I think it would require a major shakeup to alter that.
Yeah. And do they want to go that route in this season? You know, shake up the apple cart that much for a team that clearly is good enough to get into the postseason and clearly has enough talent to get on another run and go deep in the playoffs. Can anybody, and I just want to make this final point, and I know you're tight on time, you know, does it feel like already that in the Western Conference it's kind of like Oklahoma City and everybody else? How much do you want to shake up the apple cart with that reality?
That's exactly it. You have to make that calculation as an organization. And that's why I have maintained in my writing and whenever I've been on, you know, radio or podcasting, any move that they make coming up at the deadline this year, I don't think you can look at with an eye towards this year. I think if they make a move, it'll be with an eye towards next season and the season after that. And it would be more of a longer-term move in my eyes, than a shorter-term move. So that's what I would be looking for at the deadline, is something that maybe, that's why I say, you know, a major shakeup could be, you know, something that they look to. And obviously, Tim Connelly has been very, not gun-shy since pulled the trigger on some big moves. So I think that's what you're going to be looking for at the deadline, not so much for this season, again, because you have to figure out, what are our odds of winning a championship this season versus maybe down the road a little bit when Oklahoma City has some of these big money contracts coming off the books, and they're going to have to make some decisions about their future.
For sure. Well, Chris, always great. We appreciate the time and your coverage.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
There he is, Chris Hines, Star Tribune online, startribune.com. Timberwolves and Clippers, this is another one you got to have at home tonight at 7 o'clock. All right, earlier in the day, D2 playoffs, Minnesota State on the road at number one Ferris State, tall order for the Mavs. They had an early lead, and then it was Ferris State. Aaron Worm, the voice of the Mavericks, joins us. Aaron, thanks for hanging on. Tough day for the Mavs.
Yeah, you know, Ferris State, of course, they're a very good team, obviously, winners of three of their last four national titles. And, yeah, 52-29, the final seed today in Big Rapids, Michigan. Minnesota State, they were down 24-7. They did have a 7-3 lead in the first quarter, like you mentioned, but down 24-7 late in the first half. They got it to a 24-14 game. Mitchell Thompson, the quarterback for Minnesota State, with two rushing touchdowns in the game, cut the lead to 10. And then Ferris State would turn the football over. Minnesota State would get it in Ferris State territory late before halftime, but they would turn it over themselves on an interception. It stays 24-14 at halftime. Then Ferris State was driving in the third quarter. They were in the Maverick red zone, and he picked six by Amon Williams, 96-yard return for a touchdown. And just like that, it was a three-point game, 24-21, but Ferris State would answer with 21 straight. They would score touchdowns their next three drives to take control, and they go on for a 52-29 victory. On the ground for Ferris State, 307 yards, 482 total for Minnesota State, held to 118 yards rushing, 165 to the air for 283. Turnovers, both teams are two turnovers in this one, as Ferris State had the football for 34-plus minutes, Minnesota State 25-plus minutes. The Mavericks, their road trip through the playoffs comes to an end today against a very good Ferris State team. What a nice run by head coach Todd Hoffner and his gang as the Mavericks wrap up the season with a 10-4 record. And final score in Super Region 3 from Big Rapids, Michigan, Ferris State 52, Minnesota State 29. Reporting from inside the Sun Country Plain in Grand Rapids, Michigan for WCCO, I'm Aaron Worm.
All right, Aaron, thanks for your help all season long. There he is, Aaron Worm, voice of the Mavericks. Safe travel to the Mavs. Back home to Minnesota. Light snow 22. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And Vikes, Commanders tomorrow at noon. Now it's all about development of J.J. McCarthy. It probably was all along. We'll get into that in a moment. Georgia leading Alabama 21-7. Bama puts one on the board. Only problem, early in the fourth, Georgia has the ball back. Indiana, Ohio State tonight, Big Ten title game. And then tomorrow, the playoff field will be announced. And then there'll be hand-wringing and arguments and so on and so forth. Football tomorrow, Vikes Commanders, high noon, U.S. Bank Stadium. Vikes struggling. And to illustrate the point, they are 1.5 point underdogs at home to the 3-9 Commanders.
Oh my God.
I'm looking at it. Over under 43.5. Once again, Vikes, 1.5 point underdogs. That says all you need to know. J.J. McCarthy out of the concussion protocol. He will play tomorrow. And Lindsey, it clearly is all about over the final five. You know, not trying to run the table and sneak into the playoffs. That won't happen.
Who cares about the playoffs, Steve? It is not about the playoffs this time or most seasons. We just like to think that this is just something you can automatically do. We should just plug and play, people. And I get it. There's a lot of goodwill and a lot of dreams, especially on that 2023 draft class that included Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. And so I thought this would be a good opportunity, Stephen. Thank you for giving me such a platform to do this, to explore some of my old notes. Because for those of you that don't know, I spent almost 5 years covering sports from the epicenter of unchecked capitalism that is Las Vegas. And in 2023, my brain was paid to think about Raiders football. So I have a lot of notes about the 2024 draft class. Sorry about not the 2023, but that class was rich with QB talent that included McCarthy and Jaden Daniels. It was all high spirits about a year from now, and now we are in the dark place for both teams. But I remember doing some film study, Steve, on J.J. McCarthy, and granted, it was on a video from the Prince Highlights collection where there is not one dropped pass, not one bad play, not one broken decision from J.J. McCarthy. But I did take notes on his play as a fellow athlete, which don't include numbers, don't include metrics, but are mostly just vibes and notices and how that he moves. So, again, I'm going to read from my notes. These are from February 18th of 2024. J.J. McCarthy can throw on the run well in space, but how close do the defenders need to be to interrupt his throwing motion? Steve, how close do they need to be to interrupt his throwing motion based off of what we've seen so far?
Not that close.
Not that close. It's probably like 6 yards. And that's problematic because I have down here that he's a slippery little mover. He's got quick hips in his throwing motion. So he doesn't need to allow a full follow through to get zip on the ball. You know, that arm strength we talk about all the time. You shouldn't need the whole heave to get the hoe. At least that's what I wrote down in my notes. And it looks like he can throw from a more neutral stance where the weight is over the top of his feet, rather than wound back in his heels for more heave. And so I'm not sure. I'm going to keep an eye on where he's holding his weight tomorrow, because that'll tell me a lot of where he's at in his internal clock and how he's been able to get through his motion. Because if he's not getting a good rockability where his weight shifts forward, he's really not going to be able to utilize that juke move that he does so well and finds that slipperiness in the pocket that I think I saw on the tape, but we have yet to see translate at the NFL level. I'm just waiting for this kid to slow down with the game. That's why I don't want people to give up on him so early. I get that it's hard to watch bad quarterback play, but guess what? There are worse things going on in the world, and this is just football.
Yeah, and I think you and I have played the game of golf.
Yes.
And his game right now reminds me in some ways about golf. When you start getting too many swing thoughts that I need to do this, that I need to do that, instead of just when I haven't played in a while and I step out on the course and maybe I haven't hit a bucket of balls before the round and I just go up and play, I play better. And I think the kid is in that mode over the final five where it's just like there's so much rolling around in his head that the team spent this and I have Justin Jefferson and I'm supposed to do that, that maybe it's just go back to let him play, let him figure out, and if he makes mistakes, season's over anyway.
Yeah. Well, and that's where, like, some people were poo-pooing the fact that Kevin O'Connell was kind of calling out his mechanics in the pressers, and I'm not a huge fan of that either, but I also think that Kevin O'Connell might be using some different psychological tools to try to bring out that calmness you're talking about from J.J. McCarthy, because I think he gets to that zen mode by going into what his nine persona is, but that's not calming down. Sometimes that's getting so worked up that I just go out there and I do it. And so maybe by being an a-hole, KOC is kind of challenging him to get to that next level, because when he doesn't waste a lot of movement, like most people do with their mechanics, but especially for J.J. McCarthy's feet, you work so much better in that pocket. You have less likelihood that you're going to get hit. You're going to get moved off of your tempo. And some smart people came out earlier this week. Even J.J. Watt said this is definitely a thing, even though he doesn't have data for it, that some of the most successful QBs are the ones that keep it unpredictable in their snap counts and just utilizing those breaths or the moments between the breaths, right? That's what they call it for the snipers in the school. I don't know what they tell them. But you try to utilize it between the heartbeats. And try to get those defense, okay, I'm going now. So that calm, hopefully he's able to get that. Hopefully the offensive line is able to create a little bit more time and space. Maybe it's a third of a second more. But you're right. We got to see more from him. And he's got to get back to the good place that he was experiencing at the University of Michigan.
Yeah, for sure. Over the final five, better decisions, quicker decisions. and also mixing it up. You can't fire 95-mile-an-hour fastballs on every pitch. You know, he's got to show that touch. But I think going out and playing, and without as much on the line now, knowing that, you know, we've got to win today, it doesn't matter if they win or lose. I'd rather see him get beat tomorrow and have him play better.
Hey, Steve, just want to give you a quick update before we go.
Sure.
It's over in Bloomington. Congratulations to Wisconsin Oshkosh. The Titans won their first NCAA volleyball title. They swept Laverne. They did not lose a set in the entire NCAA tournament.
That is a phenomenal run. And, by the way, at the Pavilion tonight, Minnesota-Iowa State Round 2 NCAA volleyball should be a great show. They do put on a great show. Wild late in Vancouver. Timberwolves at home tonight against the Clippers. Frost go tomorrow in Boston, ending a long road trip. Thanks to Lindsay. Thanks to Jonathan. Have a great Saturday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.